You are now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are listening to the Commissioner's Conversation, and I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How you feeling out there this week? Oh, yeah, man. Everything is going fairly well on my end also, man. Listen, just trying to shake a little cold out in these streets. You know, I'm always in the streets, dog. So, you know, somewhere along the line, I picked up a little cold, but it's okay. You know, I take a little vitamins. I get my rest. I do all that stuff. I'm back at it, man. You can't stop no player. So, yeah, man, it's been a busy week. You know, you got the NFL Combine that's happening now. As we speak, and my guy Jalen Carter from UGA has hit the news. He's hit the scene. He's making all the headlines. I want to get into it. I want to talk about it. Has his draft stock dropped? Or what do you think? You know what I'm saying? How do you think about the situation? We'll get into it. Also, man, your boy Ja Morant is out here tripping. Yeah, and I got some questions. I got questions that need answered. I got some answers for some of the questions. So we'll get into Ja Morant also. And then it appears that ever since LeBron James has become the NBA all-time scoring leader, his body has almost shut down, bro. Yeah, we'll take a look at what's going on with LeBron James. We'll take a look at what's going on with these Lakers. And we'll get into some of the rest of the NBA playoffs. So without any further ado, let's get into the conversation.
Commissioner Gordon.
First off, man, let's get into some of this Ja Morant stuff. Your boy Ja Morant is out here tripping. Everybody's talking about how the young man is basically regressing, I want to say. I guess that's a good word. He's regressing in terms of status. He's made it to the NBA. It appears that he comes from a very fine family. His father seems to be doing very well. He seems to like the limelight a little bit, but he seems to be doing very well. He seems to be on the scene, and everything is cool. And all of a sudden, we get these random reports about Ja Morant out in these streets acting like, you know, like he's some kind of gangster. And from everything I've understood from the school that he's gone to the suburban area in South Carolina that he lived in, you know, two-parent household, all of this stuff. I didn't hear that any of this was present prior to Ja Morant being in Memphis. You know what I'm saying? So, and if you don't understand what I'm saying, I'll kind of run down a little bit some of these scenarios. Apparently, there was an incident, I think it was last summer. Ja Morant's mother's having some trouble in the mall. I don't know if she's trying to return some items, whatever it is. She's having a little trouble. She's going back and forth to security. She calls Ja, hey, I'm having a little trouble in the mall. These people, blah, blah, blah. You know how moms can get, and I know how sons can get. So guess what? Ja Morant shows up on the scene with nine of his boys. They popping off. They to the point where mall security's there, and I think the real guys are there. I think the police are there also, has to be called up at some point in time. But he's popping off, and eventually, as all this is going back and forth, he's basically threatening the mall security with, like, I'll find out what time you get off, and I'm gonna see about you. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna see about you. I'll find out what time you get off. And so mall security does what anybody else does when they feel threatened by somebody who has a lot of bread. He's suing them, right? Says he felt like his life was threatened. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. In that isolated incident, I wouldn't even be mad. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, cool. I wouldn't be mad. Man defending his mama. Mama having trouble. Y'all giving her shit. All she wanted to do was either shop or take back some clothes, whatever it is. I get it. I wouldn't have shown up with nine guys, but I get it. You do all out. You go all out for mama. But it doesn't stop there. Apparently, a few days later, Ja Morant is playing some pickup basketball in his own backyard. in his own backyard. He out there playing, and he has this 17-year-old kid out there playing. I don't know how many 17-year-old kids out there, how many other 17-year-old kids out there, but he has this one in particular. And for whatever reason, he felt like intimidating this young man. And according to the young man, and because I don't want to call him a kid, you know what I'm saying? 17 years old, not really a kid. But according to this young man, Ja Morant threw the ball extra hard at his chest. You know, like he trying to intimidate, throw the ball, check up. Ball hit him in his chest. Boom. You know what I'm saying? He said, okay. Okay. Young man said, okay, that's how you want to play that game? That's what we doing? All right, bet. He throws the ball back hard at Ja Morant. Well, apparently Ja Morant didn't get his hands up in time, according to the young man. Said if Ja Morant tried to put his hands up, the ball slipped through his hand. Boom, hit Ja Morant in the chin. Ja Morant look at his homeboy. Because, of course, he's embarrassed. Shit, kid just threw this ball, hit me in the face. Ja Morant is embarrassed. Tells his homeboy, hey, should I do it to him? Like, he put his shoulder on his shoulder. You know how you want to, old school square up fight. They're squaring up on each other. Should I do it to him? Oh, homeboy clearly is like, hype man. Do it to him. Should I do it to him? Do it like, I'm sorry. I'm imagining like James Brown. Should I do it to him? Do it to him. Should I do it? Do it. But Ja Morant is asking his partner, should he do it to him? Partner's like, do it. This dude hits the young man in the face. And then apparently, so did the hype man. Hype man jumps in, hits the kid too. And basically, they jump this young man, this 17-year-old kid. He's not suing and saying they're jumping him, but what he's describing is two people jumping him. He said Ja Morant hit him 12, 13, 14 times, however many times it is. And he says the partner hit him 5-6 times his damn self. So you got two dudes on one. And then, for whatever reason, Ja Morant goes in the house and comes back out, and he says Ja Morant has a gun clearly visible in his waistband. He's suing too. Now, Ja Morant admits to swinging first, but he says he was doing it in self-defense. He said the man hit him in the face with the ball, and then he squared up on him like he was gonna hit him. And he's saying that's self-defense. Now, maybe if you give me, I can give you a little bit of leeway. Kid hit you in the face with the ball to square up on you. Even though you like you might have been trying to intimidate him a little earlier, but he hit your face with the ball, squared up on him. After you hit him once and your partner hit him, he's clearly going to recognize that he's outnumbered in this game. So the entire ass whooping, the 12 to 15 punches and his, whatever punches, his 5-6 punches that the partner got in, not necessary. And self-defense, I don't think it flies in anybody's courtroom. Self-defense. You say, yeah, I threw the first punch, but I defended myself. This kid wasn't threatening you. All he did was throw the ball back at you. Check up. Thought you was quick. He's supposed to get your hands up. So, Ja Morant is screaming self-defense in this instance. I think this young man is suing. And I would, too. But then it doesn't stop there. There's been reports of after a game versus the Indiana Pacers, Ja Morant and his people are getting into a SUV. And apparently the Pacers traveling party or traveling, whatever. It's like some of the people that are with the Pacers, Indiana Pacers staff, said that as the SUV was leaving or between whatever happened, that someone pointed a laser beam at him and they thought they saw a gun attached. So they're thinking, put that red beam on him as they were driving out and getting out of the game. The NBA hasn't done anything that says not enough evidence to, say it was or was not a gun. And so there's nothing that they could really do. But I'm saying, why? All of these instances, like I said, individually, well, not even with the 17-year-old kid. I can't. My son is 15. I know how teenagers are. And I could not imagine stooping to a kid's level. Even if you feel like a kid is antagonizing you, making fun of you, and putting you in position to have to defend yourself. I couldn't. Unless a young man has put his hands on me or someone that I love, I could not. I can't see putting my hands on a child. Like I said, in my eyes, he's still a kid. Maybe not in John Morant's eyes, because John Morant is much younger than I am. But in my eyes, he's still a kid. You know what I'm saying? And I'm pretty sure that John Morant is in far superior shape than this kid. Like, even if this kid is on the high school basketball team, he ain't in the condition that John Morant is in. So I can't excuse that. And I don't excuse you going in to your house and coming out with a gun on your waist. I mean, you seem kind of corny for that one. But maybe your guys are just playing around, and somehow one of you guys got a beam, or got one of you guys got a gun with a beam on it. And, you know, you trying to intimidate Indiana Pacers people, which there's no players there, because they didn't say he pointed at any players. They said he pointed at the traveling staff. So I don't know who you're trying to intimidate there. But I got a couple questions. My first question, this is a very major question in all this situation, because, like I said, he comes from good parents, seemingly. I don't know the parents. I don't know their household. I don't know the marriage. I mean, I don't know. But I do know that his dad is on the scene at every game. Like, he's sitting down on the court side with Moneybagg. Yo, he's sitting down there with Usher taking pictures, talking about their twins or their cousins or whatever the fuck. Whatever they are, I don't know. But he's at all the games. He's cheering. He's dapping up Shannon Sharp. He's dapping up all, you know, he's doing all the extra stuff. He's doing all the extra. Dad ain't telling you, man, get rid of these dumbass friends. Dad ain't telling you, quit doing this dumbass shit. Dad ain't saying, hey, man, get you a security team. Dad ain't saying, man, hey, look, you finna mess up the money. Dad ain't giving you fatherly advice. He want to shine. Clearly, he want to shine. He like being on TV. He like, every time you're on ESPN and TNT, he's right up front and center. Sunglasses on, he put on his freshest shit. He's all right there. But where is he when you and your boys in the SUV pointing guns at the Indiana Pacers traveling staff, which I'm sure is a bunch of white boys. Traveling staff, the Indiana Pacers traveling staff? Don't that just sound like a bunch of white boys to me? I'm sorry. But I'm sure you're trying to intimidate him. It's an intimidation factor. The 17-year-old kid at his crib, he's defending himself. You're at your house. I don't know who the 17-year-old boy is again, but I'm assuming white kid. I'm just assuming. I could be totally wrong. Because if you've invited a 17-year-old kid to your house in Memphis, this is going to bring me to my other point. Y'all jumped on this kid in Memphis. If he ain't came back with his cousins from Orange Mound yet, he ain't came back with his cousins from North Memphis yet. Excuse me. Because they'll come back and they'll have their pistols ready, and it won't be for show. They'll give you what you're asking for. Since you want to be a wide earth, you want to be a cowboy out in these streets. we can, I'm your huckleberry. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can do that. But once again, that's advice that your father should be giving you. He should be recognizing the fact that, listen, man, you can't be doing all this. You can't be running up to the mall security. Somebody, I'm going to see what time you get off. I'm going to come back and get you to the mall security. You don't know what this man is going home to. He may or may not be going home to the best conditions, you don't know how much he's willing to risk. Ja Morant talking about he finna get with me when I get off work. All right. I have my real security waiting when you get here. See what I'm saying? Like, this don't make sense. Not only are you messing up the money, you're playing with your life out in these streets, man. Because everybody out here ain't playing. As a matter of fact, 9 times out of 10, ain't nobody playing, especially in Memphis. So while you playing gangster, these folks gonna show you. So once again, I ask, what is Pops doing besides trying to become a celebrity? Because there needs to be a real life conversation had. And I continuously ask because Ja Morant, somebody hit a three the other day. And what celebration does Ja Morant do? He does the finger pistols, like he just two fingers, pop, pop, pop. You know, it's like he just blasting away. Somebody hit a 3-pointer. You know, I get it. You know, that's used. Sometimes people do that. But it just hit a little different when you hear these stories about him pulling the gun on 17-year-old boy. When you're talking about his people pulling guns on the Indiana Pacers traveling squad. It hit a little different. You know what I'm saying? It make you look at him a little funny. All I can think of, and somebody put the meme up of him and his family. They put the school, him and his school pictures with the polo shirt on. And in the back, they got the Eminem playing. You know what I'm saying? His real name's Clarence. And Clarence come two good parents. And they have a real good marriage. And it's hilarious to me. So the whole song is playing in my mind as I go through this. But it rings true, though. You can't be out here playing gangster, man. And, like, you have to be careful trying to play tough. Like, anywhere. Like, I referenced Memphis earlier just because that's where he is. But you can't be out in these streets playing. He couldn't do that. He probably couldn't do that shit in Salt Lake City, Utah. So he couldn't do it in Atlanta. He couldn't do it, you know what I'm saying, in Charlotte. He couldn't do it because, like I said, there are real individuals who will get with you. But my question is why? Why do you wait till you get to the NBA and you want to decide that you're tough? You know what I'm saying? I don't get it. I understand that as a team, as a collective unit on the floor, you guys want to prove that you're tough. You want to intimidate the LA Lakers. You want to intimidate the Clippers. Shoot, now you got to intimidate Dallas Mavericks. You got to intimidate the Phoenix Suns. You have to do that on the floor. You can be tough on the floor, but when you get home, you cut all that shit off. You enjoy your wealth. You enjoy your riches. You enjoy your family. And you have a good time. You perfect your craft. You go to practice. You go eat. You go to practice. You hang out with some ladies. You go to practice. You hang out with your family. You go to practice. I don't understand where being a thug come in. If you feel like somebody's pressing you for your life, or you feel like your life is in danger, you make enough money. I think you got a Nike deal. Well, I know you got a Nike deal. They're trying to get you to replace Kyrie Irving. Kyrie's shoe is probably one of the hottest shoes that Nike's ever had. So now they're trying to get you to replace Kyrie's shoe. So I know you got a Nike deal. I think you might have a Gatorade, a Powerade, one of these energy drink deals. You have enough money. My point is, you have enough money that you can have a bodyguard, security guard. Somebody say, "Oh man, I'm tough. I don't need no damn security guard." But yes, you do. You better. I'd hire an off-duty. I'd have a contract with the Memphis Police that have a off-duty officer around me whenever I go out. If you like to have some drinks, have your driver. Limo service. Call up. Pete's Limo Service in Memphis. I don't know if there's a Pete's Limo Service in Memphis. I was just saying, call up somebody's limo service. Say, hey, man, listen, I'll endorse you, but you just give me a free ride whenever I want to hit these streets. Whenever I'm in the streets, I call up Pete. It's anything. So, but that's all I'm saying, man. It's so much. If you're not out and watching the news, like, it's so much crazy shit going on nowadays that for you to contribute to it or for you to be out here acting crazy, it's only a matter of time before somebody else show you they ain't acting.
Commissioner Gordon.
As I mentioned earlier, the NFL Combine is happening as we speak. And for whatever it's worth, for whatever, whether you like the combine, whether you think it's a meat market or whatever you think that it is, you got to admit that some people increase their draft stock there. You know, if you come out and you run a 4.3 and nobody had you down for a 4.3, you open some eyes. If you come out and you broad jump, or your vertical's higher than what they thought you were, you play cornerback, and now you got a 48-inch vert, people look at you a little like, okay, so he can go up and go get him. He may not be, but 6'1", but if you put him on up against a 6'6 receiver, 6'5 receiver, and they go up, he can come down with the ball. You know, you get to some good look. It has its perks. You can increase your draft stock while you're there. So, but before UGA's Jalen Carter got a chance to get out to the draft combine, he was called to be arrested. He was asked to be turned himself in by the Athens-Clarke County Police, basically for an accident that was caused sometime early, I think it was in January, where basically a teammate lost their life. And I can't remember what the young lady's role was. I think she was a part of the recruitment staff, that she lost her life as well. And they were going well over 100 miles an hour in a particular area, lose control. Well, what wound up happening was, depending on all of the cameras, based off of all the cameras around Athens-Clarke County, they're going around, security cameras, video cameras coming off of, like, the light poles and stuff like that, they were able to look at some surveillance and to see that Jalen Carter, I think he's driving the Trackhawk. Jalen Carter's Trackhawk appears to be racing this Expedition, as well as somebody else has a Charger or a Challenger. And they're all, you know, weaving throughout traffic until this accident happens. And so now what's happening is Athens-Clarke County wants to charge him with 2 misdemeanors of reckless driving and probably, like, I don't remember the other one. I apologize. I don't remember the other charge, but it's 2 misdemeanors. And so what's happening on television, though, now is basically people are calling to say, or asking to, like, is his stock gonna drop? Is he gonna go in the second round? Or is he going to? And then I'm looking, I'm like, I don't understand why that would be, personally. And I will say this, but there is a history. So apparently there had been another tape leaked where a police officer stopped Jalen Carter out in the streets and asked him to slow it down. I think he was going like 78, 79 in a 45 or 35. He was going way too fast. And the police basically let him go. Just asked him, slow it down, man. Go on about your business, slow it down. And he hasn't. So clearly, the young man think he's Ricky Bobby in this damn track hall. And so what's wound up happening, so they charged him with reckless driving and racing. This is me going through trying to find it on my phone because I was going off the top. But they charged him with reckless driving and racing. But they're asking like, yo, is this stock going to drop? Whatever, whatever. And while I will say, knowing that it's a repeated offense, yes, it makes you question his decision making. But, and this is the big but that I will throw in, having someone like a teammate and the young lady whose name is Chandler LaCroix, a recruiting staffer, having people die as a result of poor decision making kind of teaches you a different type of lesson. You know what I'm saying? It's not like he was, you know, it's different when you say, oh, he was in jail. Like it was DUI, like he was drinking and driving. He, you know, learn your lesson. You might learn your lesson, you might not. Some people do, some people don't. Or any type of lesson like that. But usually, like when you get away or somebody just pulls you over, like he didn't learn the first time when the police pulled him over and said, hey man, I pull over you guys all the time. Slow this motherfucker down. He didn't learn that lesson. He didn't learn then. I'm going to assume that the young man learned his lesson when he had two people who were clearly close to him pass away because they wanted to race out in the streets, or they wanted to be, maybe not even race, they wanted to be reckless in the streets of Athens. Because at a young age, it don't matter what you're driving. He's driving the Trackhawk, his homeboy is driving a Charger. It don't matter what you're driving. You're going to want to go fast. You know, I knew people who were driving, you know what I'm saying, old pickup trucks and Lincoln Town cars, and we was going up and down the highway and we was traveling and get speed ticket here, to, you know what I'm saying? It don't matter. You 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, you're going to want to push the limit. And then if you get in the Trackhawk with, like, I'm not familiar with how many horses, but let's just say 700-800 horsepower. If you get in the Trackhawk where everybody's, you know, it's in all these little rap songs, they talking about they doing the dash, you're going to want to do the dash. You know what I'm saying? You want to see how fast you can go. So now I'm going to assume that life has taught you a lesson like none other. And that's going to be, and if I am interviewing Jalen Carter, that's one of the questions, like, what have you learned? And then you can get the answer from him and see, pick up the vibe that way. Because if all this young man likes to do is drive fast, we can fix that. You know what I'm saying? We can fix that. Hopefully life has fixed that. Hopefully now he's put that behind him. He's like, oh shit, that shit is dangerous. I'm not with it. We can fix that. Because there's several other things that he could be out here doing. He could be out here slapping women. He could be out here pointing guns at people. He could be out here doing a wide variety of things that would make you say he has questionable character, but he's not doing that. The young man just got a lead foot. And like I said, we can fix that. Hell, at this Clark County, I would ask that you just suspend his license. You suspend his license. Now he really can't drive for a year. Legally, you can't drive for a year. So now you have to get you some type of driver to go and practice. Whether your homeboy moves, wherever you get drafted to, your homeboy, your uncle, your cousin, your father, whoever, they all move there with you. Wherever you get drafted, and somebody has to pick your ass up and drop you off at practice like you're 12. That's humbling. That makes you, so your next car shouldn't be a Ferrari, shouldn't be a Lamborghini. Your next car should be, you know, you probably just get you a regular old nice souped up Tahoe or Escalade or something, like you're gonna drive somebody to the airport. You know, or go top notch, go to style, get your Benz, get your Bentley, you know, get out here, get your nice Tesla. They go fast, but sorry, get your Tesla. You know what I'm saying? So But lessons should be learned. And to flip it, to my point, him driving fast don't stop me from drafting him. I'm going to tell you like this. I watched this man in the SEC championship beat the hell out of LSU's offensive line, grab the quarterback, hold him up with one arm, and hold up his other arm to say, yeah, I got him. If you don't believe me, you hadn't seen that image, go to YouTube and look it up. He literally is holding up the QB like he's a small child. And has his other hand in the air. He's holding the man up with one arm. And you think because he want to drive fast that I'm not going to draft this fool? Are you crazy? Oh, let him slide to number 8. If I'm the Falcons, I can't run up this card fast enough. They don't even run up the cards no more. That's how old I am. They don't even run up the cards no more. What they do, I'm sure, they just press the button. They just do it on the laptop. It's just a little click, simple click. I click it. I couldn't click it fast enough. Jalen Carter gave it to me. Because guess what? Now my defensive line is significantly better. Miles and miles. You put Jalen Carter on his line with Grady Jarrett? Man, please. So, yeah, let him slide. Slide all the way down to the hometown.
Commissioner Gordon.
So, I know all of y'all watched LeBron James. I won't even say shout out Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record. Take over Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record as the NBA's all-time leading scorer. He scored the most points in the NBA history. And basically, seemed like he shut it down after that, man. Like, he shot his load. You know what I'm saying? Like, he made it that moment his season. And I equate it to a lot of times where they talk about, like, where a guy wins the home run derby and how his swing is all jacked up. Like, he's all spun out. You know what I'm saying? He's burnt out for the rest of the season. Guy go out there and hit 40, 50 home runs in a day. You know, and that's all he was doing, just hitting home runs. And now he's burnt out. I say the same about LeBron James. LeBron James broke that record and was burnt out to the point where I think he only scored 2 points after that. Because that was what was important. Anthony Davis said, "Well, I wanted to win the game." Well, you should have expressed that to LeBron. Should have asked him to pace out them damn points, spread them mugs out. Don't win it in 3 quarters, my guy. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, like you have to see it. And I say he shot his load because after that, he took a whole week off. He chilled a whole week. And then he comes back, and what happens? He hurts his foot. And thinking that he was going to come back, hurts his foot. Recently, he goes to get a specialist opinion. I think he has some torn ligaments in his foot, and it appears that he's going to be out for 3 weeks. I say again, he's going to be out for 3 weeks. And then naturally following suit, what happens? Anthony Davis' ass is out too. I mean, what you expect? So now I ask you, for all that goodwill, for all the stuff that Rob Pelinka did to try to restructure this team. And I know they just beat Oklahoma City the other day without LeBron, without AD, and Oklahoma City was out without SGA. Without all of that, they won the game. And I think they're 1-1 now. But whatever. I don't see the Lakers crawling out of that 13th. Well, they're in like 12th. I don't see them coming. I don't see them getting to 10th to where they could even get to where they could play for the play-in to allow for LeBron to come back. You see what I'm saying? I don't see where they would do that. And especially, I don't see where they would be able to do that if Anthony Davis' ass ain't out there playing. So for all that you tell me you wanted to win, you wanted to win the game, and you couldn't celebrate LeBron because you wanted to win and all this stuff, it seemed like you kind of shut it down too. Next game, you play Minnesota. And then, it's a tough road, man. It's a tough road. I'm going to be honest. Just looking at their next three, they said you got Minnesota, you got Golden State, you got Memphis Grizzlies, you got the Toronto Raptors, the New York Knicks, the Pelicans. You can beat the Rockets. Because everybody beat the Rockets. Somebody got to be playing because everybody been putting up like 40, 50 points on Rockets. But not the end of that. Then you got, you know, you got the double barrel shotgun that is the Dallas Mavericks. You got Orlando. You can beat Orlando. You got Phoenix. You got OKC again. The Bulls back to back. And then the Timberwolves again. I don't see how that helps you climb into the NBA playoffs or the play-in tournament. I just don't. I don't see where that gets you, especially right now when we're talking about ahead of you. Oh, you're currently sit 11th, so I stand corrected. But you're in a battle with Portland, and you're trying to catch New Orleans Pelicans. You're trying to catch the Utah Jazz. You're trying to catch the Minnesota Timberwolves. So as it currently stands, the Lakers have 30 wins. Like I said, New Orleans has 31. Utah has 31. Minnesota has 32. The Clippers, the Mavericks have 33. And because they have less wins, they're still in the 5 spot. Golden State has 32 wins. So you're close. You're right there. But you'd have to win the crucial games. Again, I go back through the schedule. You're playing Minnesota. You're playing Golden State. You're playing New Orleans. If LeBron ain't there, if AD ain't there, you ain't got a chance in hell, man. So, I don't believe that the LA Lakers are going to make the playoffs this year. And that's not me going on a limb. That's not me having a hot take. None of that. I'm just telling you, dog, if you're a Lakers fan, sorry for your loss.
Commissioner Gordon.
Hey, man, listen, I appreciate you tuning in to the Commissioner's Conversation. As always, I appreciate you, man. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, you can check me out. Follow me on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon. Follow me on Twitter at G Robinson Sports. Follow me on TikTok at the Commissioner Gordon. You can also check out my work. I'm writing, I'm contributing, I'm a blogger. You can also check me out at SoaringDownSouth.com. Yes, SoaringDownSouth.com. I'm contributing to the website and telling you my opinions on the Atlanta Hawks. So check me out there as well, man. And then, hey, tap in. If you see me in the streets, if you see me saying something in the comment section, feel free. We'll chop it up, man. We'll keep it respectful. We'll keep it fun. We'll have a great time. If you disagree with something I said, hey, prove me wrong. Let's do it. You know what I'm saying? We'll have a good time. Until next week, I'll holler.
Commissioner Gordon.